Can you open your Bibles to John chapter 15? I just gave Kay Dawson a big hug. Some of you read a story on Facebook this week that I wrote. I was in Publix the other day, and I was in a big hurry. The short version of it was I was hurrying to the cash register, and I came around the corner. There's a woman right there, and my mind said, "Hey, there's Kay Dawson." And I said, "How are you doing?" And I gave her a big hug. And as I was giving her a hug, in the middle of that big squeeze, a realization came to me. And I stepped back. My hands are still on her upper arms, and I looked at her and I smiled and I said, "I don't know you, do I?" She said, "No, I don't think you do." I said, "I'm so sorry," and I explained how she looked a lot like a woman I go to church with. And she said, "Don't feel bad. You're a good hugger." I said, "Well, thank you. Thank you." And I said, "I'll give you another hug." And I went and checked out and was on my way. But, you know, it actually went better. I was thinking it could have gone a lot differently if I had said, "Hey, there's Leslie Tillman," and grabbed somebody. Or, "Hey, there's Peyton Graminia." You know, I could be in jail today. But it turned out okay. I wasn't arrested or anything. But I got to get a real Kay Dawson hug today. One day, one of my sons, I can't remember which one, I think it was Alex, came home from kindergarten and asked me if a watermelon was a fruit or a vegetable. And I said, "I think it's a fruit." He said, "Nope, it's a vegetable. It's in the cucumber family." And I thought, "What family are you from?" You know, it's always an adventure when your kids start learning things and it's not primarily from you. You know, and kindergarten is a pretty big time for that. But, you know, he was really proud of this important new knowledge and his ability to properly identify produce. And so he just had to share it with somebody. And today we're going to read a passage where Jesus is talking about produce or fruit in our lives. And hopefully we can take a step forward in identifying it. Here in John 15, this is on Jesus' last evening together with his disciples before he is betrayed, arrested, and then eventually goes to the cross. And as he's with them, this is in the scene of the Last Supper, starting at verse 1 of John 15, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Now we'll stop right there. But Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener." And then he goes on to say, "I am the vine and you are the branches." God is the gardener. God maintains the whole plant that is Jesus and his followers. So God, as the gardener, tends the vine, and it talks about cutting. And there's two different kinds of cutting. One, he says, branches that don't bear any fruit, he cuts off, and they're thrown into the fire. In case you're wondering, that's not a good thing. But he talks about another kind of cutting that is a good thing, and it's called pruning. And that word means cleaning. And some of you may have a negative connotation of pruning, because sometimes I think we've attempted to do God's work in cutting off branches and throwing them away to be burned, and we're doing that kind of cutting, but calling it pruning. First of all, it says it's God that does this. But second of all, pruning is something good done not to get rid of a branch, but to make the branch more healthy and more fruitful. It's a good thing. Not saying it's always a pleasant thing, but it's a good thing. Pruning just means cleaning. In fact, that later he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. That word clean, same root word as prune. You're already pruned. You're clean because of the word spoken to you. I have an example for this from growing okra. Growing up, we had a garden, and we grew okra. How many of you like okra? Yes, my people. See, I lived for almost 15 years in Michigan, and up there I said, how many of you have heard of okra? It's poor people that I grew up. I have a friend from Canada who was visiting, and we went and had dinner at Sonny's Barbecue, the Olive Garden of barbecue places, and they have okra there, and so I ordered okra, and he said, what is that? And I said, it's okra. You haven't had okra? You got to try okra, man. It's awesome. And he said, I'll try a bite. And I gave him a bite, and he just went, you Southerners are crazy. Like, what did you just make me put in my mouth? And I'm going, what I made you put in your mouth is the nectar of the gods. Now, if you go too far south to Louisiana, they boil it and it gets slimy. It's fried okra. Come on. It's the way God meant for it to be eaten. But when you're growing okra, what happens is a shoot will come off, and there's a leaf and a pod goes right above it. And my dad taught me that when you're going to harvest okra, you cut off the pod of okra and the leaf that's right below it. Because it's this big, beautiful leaf, but if you leave that leaf on, the plant has to feed that leaf. And so if you cut the pod off and leave that leaf on, pretty soon the plant will stop bearing fruit, and it'll stop growing tall. But if you keep, every time you cut a pod off, you cut the leaf off that's right below the pod, the plant will continue to send up and create new shoots and new pods. And by the end of the season, the plant might be this tall, and it keeps bearing until frost kills it in the fall. But if you don't cut those extra leaves off, it'll die out after kind of about, you know, one or two harvest times. And that's what pruning is. You're cutting off unnecessary things, things that are actually a hindrance to what's supposed to take place. And so Jesus is saying that one of the ways we give evidence of being his followers, his disciples, is that we bear fruit in our lives. And it says God, as the gardener, gets interested in this and gets involved and will prune us to make us even more fruitful. If we're fruitful in any way, the branches that are fruitful, he will prune so that they're even more fruitful. Fruit is just, it's produce, it's results. The reason you planted okra in the first place is to get that awesome little green pod meant by God to be fried. And it's fairly easy to identify in the plant world whether there's fruit or not, whether there's produce or not, even though you might need occasional help from time to time from a kindergartner to identify it correctly. We can tell that, but in our lives, in our spiritual lives, Jesus is saying, I want you to be fruitful. I want there to be a result. I want your connection with me. The fact that you're in me, you're remaining in me, I want it to have results in your life, and I want your life to have results around where God has you. So results, just things that we do because we're followers of Jesus, things like helping the poor, serving, sharing our faith, sharing the good news of the kingdom in evangelism, strengthening the church, growing spiritually, God's will being done on earth the way it is in the heavens, making a difference. Whenever someone looks and says, I can't believe she is that loving. I can't believe the way he laid down his life for me. That's fruit. When someone comes to a decision to follow Jesus, and they turn away from sin, they turn away from the world and turn to God, that's fruit. When the least and the last and the lost come in contact with the hands and feet of Jesus, when it goes from being words on a page and stands up and walks around in flesh and blood and touches the world around us, that's fruit. Colossians 1:10 talks about bearing fruit in every good work. Galatians 5:22 describes the fruit of the Spirit being born in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, perseverance. King James says long suffering. It's the one we don't want. God, help me to suffer long. I've heard it said that trying to claim the fruit of the Spirit being born in our lives as fruit ourselves is kind of like stealing fruit. Stealing fruit's not good. I stole some fruit when I was a little kid, and I didn't get caught, but what happened when I thought I was stealing a big, nice, plump cherry, I was at the curb market with my mama, and I thought, I've never seen cherries that big, and I picked it up and just popped it in my mouth and kind of went over this way, and when I bit it and it exploded its juiciness in my mouth, I realized I had picked up a little tomato. At 4 years old, I hated tomatoes. I've never stolen fruit since then. There's consequences to sin, you know? But, you know, there's a sense you could say, well, if you claim the fruit of the Spirit as fruit that's born in your life, you're stealing fruit. That could be said of any fruit we bear in our lives. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Even as we're sharing good news, Paul says, listen, we just plant and water. It's God that gives the increase. Any kind of fruit you can point to in your life, it's the result of God. We got to remember, he's the vine. I'm just the branch. I'm connected to him, and every good thing that I have flows from him through me, and it goes on to bear fruit, but I can't claim credit for it. Like, I don't, as a branch, I don't push nutrients back into the vine so that Jesus says, man, he's so awesome. I'm so glad I have him on my team, because I don't know if I'd be able to bear fruit without him. It goes the other way. Jesus is the vine. You and I are just branches. Any fruit that we bear, any results from our discipleship is because of God and because of what comes to us and goes through us to produce results. Our bearing fruit for God is kind of like a child saying, "Daddy, can I have a dollar to get you a birthday present?" Now, of course, Daddy's going to be happy about that. But only a fool would think that the daddy came out a dollar ahead in that transaction. You know, but I mean, how many of us aren't just wishing for a present from the dollar store? We all want that, of course. But if we're fruitful in any way, Jesus says, those branches that bear fruit, God, the gardener, will prune so that they become even more fruitful. How does pruning happen? What's directly referred to here is we're pruned by the Word. That God works on us, God works in us by the Word of God, which has to do with reading and meditating on Scripture, of course. As we've talked about, you know, getting beyond just being daily Bible readers to reading and meditating on the Word day and night, so that the Word of God in its power works on us and transforms us and changes us. Jesus is the ultimate expression of the Word of God. Scripture is words from God too. It's not wrong to refer to the Bible as the Word of God. But ultimately, the ultimate expression of the Word of God is Jesus. He's the power, the brilliance, the intellect of God. Meditating on Jesus, who he was, what he said, how he acted, the things he loved, the things he opposed in the world. That will have a pruning effect on our lives. We get pruned when we speak the truth to each other. I was with a group of people a couple nights ago, and there were some things said to me, not just to me, but to me, that were very challenging. Don't you love that? Yes, I do. I love it when my minister gets challenged. Here's the deal. If you have a minister that never gets challenged, you're in for trouble. But the thing is, if you never get challenged, you're in for trouble. It's something that has to, it's pruning. It's things that God uses. And the question is, will you allow yourself to be pruned? Jesus said, "You're already clean because of the word that I spoke to you. You're already pruned." Not that they wouldn't need ongoing pruning, but they had to allow that. Because one of the most powerful things God gives us is the ability to choose. And we can choose to harden ourselves and not be pruned. That very night, Peter denied Jesus three times, and he would go on to get pruned and be one of the primary leaders of the early church. That same night, Judas would betray Jesus, but he didn't get pruned. He was cut off and thrown into the fire. Pruning as being a branch that's attached to the vine and that is gardened by the Father is always going to be pruned. It's not a one-time thing. It should be normal. So we see, intellectually at least, that pruning's a good thing. But we still don't like it, because it can be painful. Kind of like a story I heard about two little boys who run into a dentist's office, and one says, "I need you to pull a tooth. We got a ball game today, and we're in a big hurry, so there's no time for a shot or gas or anything. We just need you to pull it out." And the dentist says, "Well, you're a brave little boy. Show me that tooth." And he goes, "Albert, show him your tooth." You know, pruning's okay when it happens to somebody else. That's, you know, it's kind of like talking about surgery. You know, you might refer to somebody else having a procedure. When you have it, it's not a procedure, it's major surgery. Talk about it right, you know? You know, it would be so great. You know what? We use this word transformation sometimes, and I think we can get this picture of I said a prayer and God just changed me. And I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just saying I'm 56 years old and I've very rarely seen that. It's like we have this picture in our minds of like some special effects in a movie, like Terminator or something. Something has one form and just like, whoop, it morphs into this other completely different form. And we think we're going to morph into the likeness of Christ in some magical moment. But I haven't really experienced it that way. It's more like being chiseled. There's this big old blob of rock and it's like, you know, or it's being whittled away. Years ago, I read a story in a paper in Chattanooga about this old man from Tennessee who was a whittler, and he whittled all kinds of little squirrels and raccoons, different critters, and it was amazing the work he did. But somebody asked him, you know, how do you carve such a lifelike squirrel? And he goes, well, you just take a stick and you cut off everything, don't look like a squirrel. And that's kind of the way, you know, when God prunes us, God's taking a sinful, fallen person like me and like you and kind of whittles away it, through different means, through the working, the challenging of the Word, through the Holy Spirit, who's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. It counsels and it comforts, but it also convicts the world of sin and righteousness and the judgment to come. That's what the Spirit is supposed to do. Now, we can harden ourselves to the Spirit, but what God wants the Spirit to do, among other things, is to prune us and to cut away, sometimes through painful experiences, the things that don't look like Jesus. So that we are transformed into his likeness, but not morphed with computer animation. It's real life, blood, sweat, and tears, sometimes situations that we would never choose for ourselves. Through those things, God changes us. And so here's an important question. Are you allowing yourself to be pruned? Is it something you value? Is it something you pursue? Is it something that you're open to when it comes to you? Or is it something you fight tooth and nail because you don't want a little bit of pain for a good result later? This is about cooperating with God. God says, any branch in me that bears fruit, I will prune so that it will be even more fruitful. But we have a choice of whether to cooperate with God in that or not. Part of it has to rid our minds of the negative connotations of pruning. Because it's a good thing. It's not cutting off and throwing away to wither and to be thrown into the fire eventually. That's not what pruning is. Pruning is the care of a loving gardener to make the plant continue to grow and bear fruit. The best among us has things that need to be removed and cleansed in our thinking, our attitudes, our behaviors, sinful patterns that we fall into. We need to be cleansed. We need to be pruned by God. Are there things that have been plaguing you? Maybe there are things that just bother you about yourself. That maybe for months or maybe even years or maybe as long as you can remember, I know I'm this way. And I don't want to be this way, but I keep finding myself behaving this way with my kids or with my spouse or with the people at work. God wants to prune that. So that you'll be even more fruitful. Sometimes things continue to plague us because we hold on to them and we protect them or we hide them. Because it's such a fearful thing to be open and vulnerable. But allowing yourself to be pruned takes humility. It takes vulnerability. It's talking about the things that really need to be talked about. Sometimes we can talk and talk and talk and talk about everything that doesn't need to be talked about and never quite get around to that thing that really does need to be talked about. Things like anger, gossip, pride, materialism, selfishness, hatred. Things that somebody just spew out of us when we open our mouths. And there's a part of us that doesn't really want to be that way. But the people closest to us know that's the deal. That's just who we are. God says, listen, I want to clean you. I want to work on you. And it might be painful, but it's so that you'll be healthy, so that you'll be even more fruitful than you've been in the past. But we have to allow it. And the truth is, sometimes it's sinful things like that. Sometimes our lives need to be pruned of things that are not inherently sinful in and of themselves. When you're harvesting okra, you have to cut off a beautiful leaf if the plant's going to keep going. Sometimes there are things in our lives that they're fine, but we're giving so much of ourselves to them that all the nutrients, all the energy, the time in our lives are being poured into these things that are not the thing. Our lives are consumed by things so that our walk with God is suffering or non-existent. We are allowing things to take over our lives so that our relationship with our spouse is sorely neglected. Or we're living with regrets because of things we're not doing with our kids because of something that might be okay, not sinful. But it doesn't produce the fruit that God wants to see in our lives. We have so many time wasters. If you read through this passage carefully and you look for a command, the command is actually not to bear fruit. Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." But the command is not to bear fruit. Go bear fruit! The command is is to remain. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Fruit is God's work. Fruit is what God does through us, but we have to stay connected to the vine. As faithful branches, that's what we have to do. We don't have to gut it out and make a difference. And really, we have to stay connected to Jesus. That's the command here. As Jesus, he says, I think it's 8 or 9 times, remain, 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 remain. One of the times, at least one of those, Jesus says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. This is huge. This is not just semantics. You being in a love relationship with Jesus is the starting point. A lot of times when we think about things that we need to do or results that need to come about, we think, I've got to make this happen. I've got to bear this fruit. I've got to have these results so that God will love me. The message is, I love you. In fact, I've borne you. You're an outgrowth of me. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Now, stay connected, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So remain. Stay right there. The love of Jesus is the starting point. This is not trying to be fruitful so God will love you. You know, I used a marriage analogy back in February, and that's what last month was. And I had 2 balloons tied together, and I said, you know, this is not God's picture of marriage. You know, 2 people connected, can't get away from each other no matter how hard they try. That's not it. And I had another thing. There was 1 balloon inside another, and it says, Genesis says, the 2 will become 1. And I said, really, marriage, in a sense, is not about trying to achieve oneness. When you get married, God makes you one. So the effort is not trying to achieve oneness. It's just trying not to separate, trying not to come apart. And Jesus here is talking about you being in me. I am in the Father and you are in me. It's the same kind of thing. And it begins in a love relationship. And the thing is, we're not trying to achieve connection with God. It's already there. What we have the choice to do and what we have to choose not to do is to leave that relationship, is to remain. And that's a big job sometimes. I shared before about Sue and I being in a talk and having this having some conflict and having tension, and then all these stories start going in my head. Here we go. And I start to pull back, but I have to choose to remain. It's not trying, and as different as we are, to try to achieve oneness, we have oneness. I have to try not to pull back, not to separate, but to stay connected and to push to communicate and to say things like, well, the story I'm telling myself is this, and work on it and stay together, even though it's painful. A couple weeks ago, now I'm gonna share something with you. Is that okay? I'm gonna be a little bit vulnerable. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm gonna say it anyway. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was on Facebook. I told you it was gonna be embarrassing. And there are these ads on the side. You know those ads, if you're on Facebook, those ads? Apparently, for every TV show that's ever been made, there were at least 20 things that the producers didn't want you to know. And if you read any of those, what you figure out quickly is it's not really so much the producers didn't want you to know. It's just that they're super boring and the producers didn't think you would want to know. But there was this, one of those ads like that, and it says celebrities that you didn't know were dead. I thought, I haven't been reading the obituaries. I need to see all the dead celebrities that I didn't know. So I clicked on it and I started reading, and I'm going, seriously, you didn't think I knew James Dean was dead? You didn't think I knew Marilyn Monroe was dead? In the whole list, there was one person I'd never heard of, and another one that I thought, you know what? I did not know she was dead. So I learned one thing. But something darker than that happened. There was a picture of this woman who was like a bodybuilder, and she had a career in like WWE wrestling and all this kind of stuff. But it mentioned, you know, she was, you know, this kind of character in the WWE, and she also had a career for a while as a porn star.
Whoa.
Yeah. I asked Jamie to react the way my brain did. Perfect. Good job. And I'm going, this woman is like bigger than almost every man I know. She's this huge bodybuilder. She did that? I was like, what in the world does that even look like? Here we go. What do you do with that? In my case, for probably 10 or 15 seconds, I bet I could find a picture of that. And finally I said, David, where is your heart? Why is that interesting? Why is that so intriguing to you? And there's lots of reasons, no good ones, but that I'm, you know, that we have this thing called flesh that can be triggered like that. But the thing is, sometimes when we're at that point, what we feel and what we tell ourselves is that I'm so sinful, I'm so far from God. God, I'm so weak, I'm so whatever. And we can tell, but the deal is, in that moment in temptation, you are in the love of Jesus. And when you're in the moment of temptation, whatever that temptation is, your job is not to try to get God to love you. You're already in the love of Jesus. What you have to do is remain. Instead of taking this other path that's being offered to you. And it might be something like I described, or it might be just jealousy, or fits of rage, or selfish ambition, or gossip, or hatred, or slander, or anything else. But Satan works the same way in all those things. And when we're tempted, we have a choice. Do I follow my flesh, or do I remain in his love? Do I stay connected? That struggle, that burn, that temptation is not sin. But if you don't talk about it, Satan might go away right then, but he'll come back at a more opportune time, like he did with Jesus, and try to wear you down. But what God wants to do, and whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever you're tempted with, whatever those sinful patterns are in your life, because we all have them, right? Okay. You know, I don't want to leave here today thinking I'm the only one that has sinful patterns. I know some of you. But we think, you know, when we think we're in the battle, we think that means we're separated from God. What that means is you're in a battle. You're in a battle as a dearly loved daughter or son of God. And it's not your job to bear fruit, it's your job to remain. To stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Are you allowing yourself to be pruned? You have a choice. God wants to prune you. If you've ever been fruitful in any way, if you have ever been at a point where you're already clean because of the Word of God that's in you, you're a follower of Jesus. If you've borne fruit in any way, God wants to prune you to make you even more fruitful. Will we allow that? Will we value that? Will we invite people into our lives that will help us with that? If we remain, we will bear much fruit. As Jesus goes on to say, fruit that will last. It's just our job to remain. Amen.